Well, let's get right to our broadcast partner. As promised, David Dolan giving us a Middle East news update. David, we've got to remember that this last week has been full of special holiday festive occasions in Israel, in particular in Jerusalem. Many Jews from all over the world coming to celebrate Passover, and Passover is a 8-day celebration instead of just the 1-day Passover, and then it goes into unleavened bread, high security in Israel, in particular in Jerusalem, and then the Christian pilgrims from all across the world coming in for Resurrection Sunday. So it's been high alert security-wise and a lot of violence on the Temple Mount during this last week.
Well, that's right, Jimmy. Sadly, there were several violent incidents, and of course, the worst being the shooting to death of an Israeli father driving with his wife and children near the city of Hebron, south of Jerusalem. He was shot dead just as Passover was beginning by unknown Palestinian ambushers. It's assumed they were Palestinians, certainly, in that area. And he was a policeman as well, although he wasn't on duty at the time. He was actually heading to a special meal, a Passover meal, when that happened. And then, as you said, we had clashes in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. This followed Israel's decision to demolish some what they said was illegally built structures in the eastern side of Jerusalem. One or two of them were funded by the European Union, it turns out, for low-cost housing for Palestinians, but the people building them did not go through the permit process. And as the Israeli government has often pointed out, they order demolitions of any Jewish-built building in a similar way that didn't have proper permits, etc. So they're not just doing this with the Palestinians, but nevertheless, that order was issued, and there was some rioting in response and some other things going on. So tensions have been, you know, relatively high in some areas, but nevertheless, over 125,000 Jews are in Israel celebrating Passover. That's a very large number of tourists, and as you said, many thousands. They haven't given statistics that I've seen yet, but the government hasn't, but many thousands of Christians also in the city and in the country for Easter. And it is usual for the two holidays to intersect, because of course Easter is based on the Jewish holiday of Passover. The Seder meal was the Last Supper, basically, that Jesus attended with his disciples. So they usually do coincide, but because Israel has a lunar calendar, some years they don't. But this year they did, and security has been high. But apart from those incidents, things have been relatively calm, and people report very good meals and very good, you know, interactions with their families and friends, and, of course, visiting the holy sites. That's special any time of the year, but certainly during the holidays, it's even more so.
David, let's get back to that violence on the Temple Mount. It looks like the Muslims are doing everything they possibly can to stop the Jews and Christians from going up onto the Temple Mount, and they're doing it on purpose.
Well, that certainly seems to be the case and has been the case for a long time. So this isn't really new, but, you know, we have the Palestinians claiming the Temple Mount as their own exclusive religious site, which is, well, it's a bit crazy, frankly, because, of course, for twice as long in history, it has been Judaism's holiest site on earth. And we all know that Islam's holiest site is Mecca, not in Jerusalem. And yet they make that claim all the time, and they don't want Jews up there praying. Now, this isn't all Muslims by any means or all Arabs, but certainly it is the prevailing view amongst many Muslims in the region that the Jews shouldn't be up there at all, and Christians really shouldn't be up there. I've had Christian friends and pastors, visiting pastors and others, visit the Temple Mount, and they were ordered off because they had a Bible that they took out, or they stopped to say a prayer and held hands with their loved ones and said a prayer, and they were faced off because of that. So this is not new, but it is ongoing, and it frankly just shows the intolerance of the Islamic faith, or at least of these Muslims that purport, this is ours, you can't have it, and we don't care about history, we don't believe you had it historically. That's what they usually say, which is absurd. Pretty much all archaeologists say the evidence is overwhelming that the Jewish temple stood there. So not new, but not nice, and occasionally it does lead to bloodshed.
David, in the past, we've talked about the peace process. I want to get to that in just a second. But in our conversations, you've often said, why doesn't the United States deal with the Ukrainian situation instead of worrying about the peace process between the Israelis and the Palestinians? Well, this week, Prime Minister Netanyahu did give a call to the President of Russia, Vladimir Putin. The United States pretty much upset about that. But I guess Netanyahu had to get in contact with Putin because of all the Russians that have immigrated to Israel.
Well, Jimmy, this is an important point. Over a million Russian-speaking Jews, most of them from the former Soviet Union, some of them from other parts of the world where they were living, have come to Israel and have moved to Israel. They're voters, they're citizens, and many of them remain very nationalistic in terms of Russia. That's their motherland. That's where they came from. That's where they still have lots of relatives and friends in most cases. Many of them travel there regularly on visits. So Putin's nationalism, some would call it even more than that. He's acting more like a dictator, it would seem to many. But his ultra-nationalism, let's call it that, is popular with many Israeli Russian speakers and their voters, and most of them tend to vote on the right, and that means they're Netanyahu supporters. So he has to keep that in mind. Also, frankly, Jimmy, as the United States' stock has gone down in the Middle East, and every expert I've talked to agrees that is the case. That's not just a perception that some have. We can see it in Egypt and Saudi Arabia. We can see it in Israel and other places as well, Turkey and other places, then Russia's has gone up because Putin's been quick to come in and fill the vacuum. And the Israelis, you know, they're thinking, hey, do we want to offend this guy? Do we want him, you know, on our backs, or should we, you know, just, you know, let things lie? So they're trying to stay out of the Ukrainian situation. Now, there is criticism in Israel of that position. I have to say that. Some saying the prime minister is not being taking a moral stand here. He's taking a practical stand. But Israeli ties with Russia are very important. And frankly, Jimmy, maybe he's gambling that Putin's going to emerge as the next regional power, you know, that he will be the big mucker in the area, and they better stay on good terms with them, and that the U.S. is no longer as essential as it once was. And, of course, that is insulting to the Obama administration, but many would say it's a fairly factual statement.
And at the same time, the United States putting pressure on the Israelis and the Palestinians, even the European Union saying to Israel, make more concessions, restart this peace process. But it looks like it's dead in the water, doesn't it?
Pretty much so. There are consequences for declaring it completely dead for both sides. It would be not so nice, and especially in terms of relations with the U.S. But as I just said, relations are already fairly strained between the Israeli government and the Obama administration, and the Palestinians have always had a bit of a wary eye of the United States all along, feeling it's more sided towards Israel. So, yeah, there was calls by the European Union, Catherine Ashdown, for Israel to reverse several recent decisions, including demolishing these illegal structures in Jerusalem and withholding tax revenues from the Palestinians. This after they joined the 13 UN bodies that we discussed last week against the principles of the peace talks, the Israelis said. So, it doesn't look like it's going to succeed, but for them to declare it dead is probably not going to happen either. It'll just probably stay at a low level, or they'll just postpone talks for some time. And certainly John Kerry, as you pointed out earlier, has other issues probably more pressing to deal with than that one.
Give me about 15 seconds, if you will, David. The Syrian situation is not getting any better, and Jordan across the river there from Israel, upset about the Syrians. They sent their warplanes in the air. They're trying to stop infiltration of jihadists into Jordan.
They certainly are, and they know that some Jordanians have gone to fight on the side of the rebels and are coming back as hardened jihadists, and it's not good at all for Jordan. As we've stated all along, this Syrian war could lead to a regional war. It could lead to great instability beyond what it already has, and Jordan is one place that is most likely to take place.
David Dolan with our Middle East News Update right here on Prophecy Today. It's an essential ingredient in our speaking to you, the body of Christ, about the events happening in our world in light of biblical prophecy. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.